If you would open your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 12. Nehemiah chapter 12. We have been going through a series on leadership for a few months now. And it's been a tremendous ride for us as we go through the book of Nehemiah. Has so much there on leadership. And so we're grateful for that. And the reason why we're talking about leadership in a church setting is because leadership is influence. And we want you to have the opportunity to influence others for Jesus Christ. And so this is why we're talking about leadership here this morning, and we're leading one brick at a time. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for all that you've done for us here this morning, Lord, and we celebrate the dedication of a child to you, Lord. What a tremendous privilege that is to do that. And Lord, as we continue to talk about the celebrations that we see here in Nehemiah, Lord, I pray that you would just speak to our hearts here this morning and encourage us and lift us up here. And we thank you for it. And we ask this in Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. If happiness were a disease, none other would be more contagious. If you laugh often, if you're having fun in life, if you're never far from a smile, you don't have trouble affecting people and making friends. People who really enjoy life are always, always in demand. They are unbelievably infectious. The good kind. You don't have to wear a mask for that. And we want people to be infectious, that are smiling and happy. Teachers who are happy carry out their teachings in a winsome way and have no trouble getting students to line up for their courses or have problems with kids playing up in class. The salesman generally is happy, and he probably gets maybe some carpal tunnel as he fills out the orders, if he's happy and smiley. Others, maybe a college president is happy when he's happy. The public relations department has an easier job. When the owner and waitresses of restaurants are friendly and happy, the word spreads. Why is that? Because happiness is a rare commodity today. In fact, it's almost extinct. If you question that, man, just check out the drivers next time you're traveling down the freeway here. Just have a look around, especially in the morning when everybody's going to work. I mean, they got some long faces there. It's such sadness that are out there. Or when you go into to the stores and you go and look at the checkout line, just stop for a moment. Just look at the people in the checkout line, or maybe it's the person checking you out. Sometimes they're very unhappy. Such sad faces that are out there. In fact, look at the person beside you. Have a look. I suppose it's understandable. Our economic scene does not promote happiness. Homes and property have never been more expensive. The promise of tomorrow has never been maybe more bleak than this present time. There is an international famine that seems to be spreading. There's a crime rate that has come to an all-time high. Illegitimacy, rape, pornography, child battering, drug abuse, political scandals, malpractice charges, marriage infidelity, energy and ecological crisis. They all add heavy weight to that thin wire of sanity that we have. In fact, oftentimes, I remember my mom used to tell me, "You're on my last nerve." I never had the guts to ask her how many nerves she had to start with. I was always on the last nerve, it seems like. Some have dubbed our time the aspirin age. I think it's a pretty accurate description. Hospital has never been more expensive or overcrowded. Ambulance ramping is out of control. And it's a documented fact that over half of those occupying hospital beds are there because of mental or emotional disorders. People in healthcare professions are also extremely alarmed over the growing rate of suicide. It's now one of the most major causes of death, even in young people. They cannot cope today. According to the Australian Health and Wealth Institute, death by suicide represents 30.9% of all deaths in young people aged 15 to 17 years of age, and 32.4% of all deaths in those aged 18 to 24 years of age. Add to these the woes of the ingredients of discouragement, epidemic of divorce, the breakdown of child training, and mixed into that the problem is connected with our religious scene and the international tensions as they relate to Israel and the Arab states, not to mention the turmoil in Africa and the threat of Red China and Iran and Russia, and on it goes. It's enough to make one depressed, is it not? It's been said, laugh and the world laughs with you. Weep and you weep alone. And it seems rather than the one who laughs now, seems like they laugh alone. Nobody's laughing with them. Every day seems to bring a surprise attack from the evil of this world. Yet in spite of our current situation, God wants to set our hearts right concerning our day and age. And I'm convinced He still wants His children to be happy. How can we use the 12th chapter of Nehemiah to teach us some of His principles on happiness? Well, in the days of Nehemiah, the people faced many depressing circumstances. They were, in fact, plagued with the most difficult times imaginable. They were experiencing growing pains of a community and a city. They had enemies all around them that surrounded them, and they wanted to destroy them and keep them in submission. They even had some on the inside of the walls that were sabotaging their efforts. They were having to put off the pagan culture that they learned in captivity and learned God's laws once again and learned the language once again. There was nothing to lend their hearts towards rejoicing. Nonetheless, they were filled with joy and laughter. Now, I don't mean that we should become like the proverbial ostrich who goes and sticks their head in the sand and blindly smiles their way through hard times, but I am convinced that Nehemiah 12 will help lighten our load as we see things from God's perspective. And I believe that we are marching towards the culmination of His divine plan, regardless of the scars that we now bear in our wounded world. If we can catch God's thoughts and see life as He sees it, the friction of living will be lessened. And He will provide us a way of escape that we might be able to bear it. To lead this charge, we need leaders. And not just any leaders, we need godly leaders. Leaders that are going to be happy people. Those people that are out there that are following us, they need encouragement from our leadership. Those who look to leaders for encouragement and hope aren't ready for the personification of the Grim Reaper. They're wanting people that can encourage them. And many of the followers crawl to work every morning, whipped black and blue by domestic conflicts and tons of financial worries. They face a day of monotonous demands and thankless tasks, only later to return home to bickering and disconnected mates and kids. Away from the job, they have little more to look forward to than the glare of the television set. Somewhere, somehow, God can use you to introduce one ingredient into their lives that will lighten their load. It's real and lasting joy. Real and lasting joy. Nehemiah was aware of this, and so he wanted to get the right people in the right place, and so he wanted to gather the right leaders together in order to move forward with this celebration, because they were going to have a day of dedication here. And in Nehemiah 12:27, the people had gathered to dedicate the recently completed wall because they now have protection from their enemies. The city is slowly beginning to show signs of progress and new homes and new businesses and the whole gamut of urban renewal. Although times were still hard, there was a new spark of enthusiasm and a renewed vision. Even though much was left to do, but the walls were finished. The broad, stable, strong, well-constructed, well-engineered wall was done. And the wall was the main attraction. And after moving into the city began to build their homes, and the citizens decided to dedicate this project to God. And the dedication of the wall is obviously the subject of Nehemiah 12:27 through 47. However, we find much more than that. We see here delightment coming from the hearts of the people. See, this wasn't based on their outward circumstances here. We find people whose heart was really joyful. And they rejoiced. They were happy. Even though they had left suburbia and left their homes and had to scrounge around to find materials to build their urban dwelling, they were ready. They were really joyful because their eyes was on the Lord. And Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 27, it says, "Now, at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites in all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgiving and singing, with cymbals and strings and instruments and harps. And the sons of the singers gathered together from the countryside around Jerusalem. The Hebrew word for gladness there means mirth or a pleasure or delight. So the people brought in this group of specialists to lead in a happy celebration with the people. And he put the right leaders in the right place for the celebration. And so let's talk about the day of celebration here, man. Let's have some fun here is what they're saying. We're going to have a day of celebration here. They added to the celebration the singing of hymns and the accompaniments of cymbals and harps and layers. And it was a sort of a combo here. I suppose you could have probably named this Nehemiah Block Party because they were going to have a good time. This was a day of celebration. People from all over were selected to lead the joyous celebration here for what God has done. And it was designed to be unforgettable and an enjoyable day. And I will be first to admit that I'm not necessarily the most flamboyant singer up here. I struggle sometimes with singing, and I try, but it doesn't come naturally to me. I'll be honest with you. It's not my gift. It's not my calling. However, I have been to some churches where the worship leader, man, they must have been sucking on some lemons or something before they got up to lead the worship. I mean, you see it all over their face. And you wonder whether this was a worship service or a funeral service. And yet, if you go and look at the people, it's not much different. They seem miserable as they're supposed to give up and stand and sing and worship the Lord. And so when we have our worship service, hey, listen, you guys got to help me out. You guys got to help me out with the worship service. You need to take that frown and turn it upside down. You need to. We're here to make a joyful noise. Look at your neighbor right now, and I want you to give them a big smile. All right? Now, I want you to hold that and look back this way. Okay, perfect. Stay like that for the rest of the time, okay? But why sometimes do we lose our smile? Well, sometimes there's some things in our life that sort of interfere with our life. And I call it grime removal. There's some grime, there's some things that we picked up in the world along the way that have stolen our joy. And as a result of that, there needs to be some holy purification. It's important whenever we come to Sunday worship that we get rid of all that grime that we picked up in the week, throughout the week in the world. It's a time for us to remove that. We need some holy purification here. Living in an ungodly world, sometimes the worldly grime and muck rubs off on us and it steals our joy. The dedication consists of more than just fun and games here. And notice something very important in verse 30. Nehemiah 12, verse 30 says, "The priest and the Levites purified themselves and purified the people, the gates and the walls." It must not be overlooked that before there was one moment of celebration, first of all, there had to be a purification. There had to be a purification. We're not told exactly what is meant by purification, but it no doubt had to do with personal cleansing through the sin offering. A ritualistic cleansing of the gates and the walls. Maybe they were dedicating themselves and their city to the Lord. It was designed to offer thanks to God for the completion of a good work. And it was intended to set apart the holy city for its sacred end. It was desired to invoke the divine blessing and the guardianship of the city back to God. And in order to carry on this celebration and celebrating the walls, their hearts had to be pure. And that what a great lesson that is for us. We cannot go and have joy in our hearts if we're continuing to live in habitual sin. The two cannot mix. They cannot be together. We too need to remember that to minister to other people, our hearts must be clean before God. And so one of the things we learned here is holiness precedes happiness. That's a good point for us to emphasize here with anybody who leads. The first step to happiness and contentment is a clean heart. And there isn't a leader out there who hasn't tried to fake a clean heart and failed. We've all been there. Moral carelessness and borderline sin gives laughter a hollow ring. And mark it down, there can be no tolerance for evil, nor laughing off the things that God hates. Any leader who expects his efforts to lift the spirits of others must start with the purification of himself. They must get their own hearts right with God in order to lead others in this manner. They became an example to others to follow. But notice the gathering on the wall here. Nehemiah is putting everything in place for this day of celebration, and so he has to go and put the choirs in place. Let's move ahead to the first procedure here in the dedication ceremonies here. In Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 31, he says, "So I brought the leaders of Judah up on the wall and appointed two large thanksgiving choirs." Wouldn't it be awesome to have a thanksgiving choir? I'm from the States, and we've got some big churches over there, and the church that I'm from originally, we had probably, I don't know what, 100, maybe 200 people in our choir. That was just the choir. And man, to hear those people sing and to hear all the special music, it just moves you. It would be great. It would be awesome to have a choir, would it not? I mean, hey, I'll be happy just to have a praise team, you know. Anybody want to be involved with that? You're welcome to. Come and see me. But picture that. Maybe a ladder leaned up on the wall and Nehemiah yelled out, "Hey, come on, everybody, come up on the wall." And they came up by the dozens and on this the great broad wall, and they went around Jerusalem. And verse 31 tells us that the first great choir proceeded to Nehemiah's right on top of the wall towards the gate down to the bottom of the city, the refuge gate. And then verse 38 informs us that the other Thanksgiving choir went the opposite way. And he said, "I was behind them with half of the people on the wall going past the Tower of Ovens as far as the broad wall." So Ezra was the first choir, and Nehemiah linked himself with the second choir. So we have Ezra on one side of the city wall, Nehemiah on the other side of the city wall. Try to get a mental picture of what the scene must have looked like from the outside of the wall, from those that were on the outside looking in. I mean, what a blast they must have had. Hundreds of singers and all sorts of instruments, and there's a spirit of hilarity that certainly wouldn't resemble today's average church, I can tell you that. It's probably looked more like people lining up on the road for the Tour de France, cheering on their favorite riders. You know, you see them out there cheering them on. That's what I envision when I see this. It was corporate rejoicing. And notice in verse 43, it says, "And also the day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The women and the children also rejoiced." God had put joy in their hearts. You'll never convince me that these women and these kids, they just kind of stood there at attention, you know, straight as an arrow, and they just kind of was tight-lipped and didn't say anything. No, you know what? I think they got with it. Man, I think they had a good time. I think they were enjoying themselves. It's sort of like a Jewish Disneyland parade, if I read it correctly. It reminded me of some of those guys down in Louisiana that you maybe have seen that go and play their horns as they're marching down the road, going down the streets. I mean, the excitement that they have. This is what I envision taking place here. And when the people are out in the streets that are celebrating New Year's Day, everybody's excited. There's just a feeling there that you can feel it as everybody's coming together and celebrating. When I was growing up, Kool and the Gang had a song, "Celebrate Good Times." And any time that as a child when we wanted to get some excitement going on, they would play that song, and we would celebrate good times. And this was Kool and the Gang, but I can tell you, they had nothing on Nehemiah's gang. Man, they did some serious celebrating going on here. And it was so much so that the scriptures tell us that it couldn't be contained. They were loud in verse 43. If you go and look at the last part of that verse, it says, "So that the joy of Jerusalem was heard afar off." So that the joy of Jerusalem was heard afar off. Man, we've all arrived at a football game late, and we've heard the yelling and the band or the music playing and the growing crescendo of the roar of thousands of people. And we're sitting there outside with our hearts pounding with excitement, trying to get through the ticket line because we feel like we're missing out on something. Something's going on. You can hear the crowd going, and it's getting louder and louder. Something's about to happen. It was like that. And in the middle of it all, there was Nehemiah and Ezra and the other leaders, and man, they were having a wonderful time. What a delightful day to remember. And so as we think about that, I want us to think about how we gather with joy. How we gather with joy. And I think part of our responsibility is we need to make smiling and singing saints, don't we? Let me say that again. Making smiling and singing saints. There's not a whole lot of smiling going on right now. Remember the words of Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. A merry heart does good, like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Some of you come to church looking like you're a bit dehydrated. Your bones are dry. But a merry heart, that's what we're looking for. A merry heart does good. One of the things they do in hospitals today is they bring in clowns. And all these kids, they see these clowns come in and they're excited unless they've got a fear of clowns, but most of them are okay. But they get excited when they see the clowns come in and it just brings some joy to the heart and they've discovered that it helps them with their healing process. Or they'll bring in therapy animals. And you'll notice that most of the therapy animals are dogs, not cats. You figure out that. Anything that could bring joy to one who is hurting because they know that a merry heart is good medicine. But also in Proverbs 15:13 it says, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of heart the spirit is broken. And there's a lot of broken people that we see come to our church and in our lives on a daily basis. And if they could just understand a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, and we could have that impact on their lives. Isn't it true? I mean, the individual who smiles and sings his way through life is in demand by people all around him. And I'm naturally attracted to people with bubbly personalities, people full of the joy of the Lord. Because we know that merry hearts are contagious. It fits any case, any scene, no matter how bad the circumstances are. There are some days I go for a drive and I put on some good Christian music and man, it's just me and Jesus and we have a time of worship in the car as we're driving. Doesn't matter if people see me. I could care less. They just probably think I'm talking on the phone or something. Who knows? I just wave and smile. Sometimes when I get down, music just lifts my spirit. Do you feel better when you sing? Let me encourage you to try it sometime. Scientific studies have showed the positive influence of music on plants. This is on Mythbusters as well, so you know it's true. We've lived very close to our neighbors, and from time to time, the Marys across the street, they'll start getting out their guitars, and they'll start to play their music, and they just sing at the top of their lungs, man. And you know what? I must admit, they're pretty good. And sometimes I just enjoy sitting in my lounge with the door open and just listening to them sing. And if I know the song, I might just belt out and sing along with them. I certainly don't do it enough. I too feel the pressure of life, and the time for rejoicing sometimes gets put on the back burner. I don't do it enough. What about you? Have you stopped singing? Have you stopped smiling? When you sing, your kids will sing too, and they won't care where they are. Man, they could be in the shopping mall, and they can just start belting it out. Great, I love it. Don't stop singing. Sing this afternoon. Sing on your way home for work. When my wife and I, we go on a road trip, we'll put on some traveling music and we'll sing to our destination. And it's great. It's wonderful because it makes our time go by faster. A singing mouth is one of the most exuberant expressions of a happy heart. And also, it's scriptural. It's scriptural. Making melody is of the spirits. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing Him. Notice this next bit, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. Evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is making melody in your heart to the Lord. And if you cannot think of anything to sing about, well, then think about what all God has done for you. And sing a song of thanksgiving. We can lift our voices and sing as an act of worship and thanksgiving. And I'm impressed with the fact here that Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 43, it doesn't say that the song was heard from afar. It says that the joy was heard from afar. It wasn't the song that was heard, it was the joy that was heard from afar. And that encourages me. People don't hear the lips and the words of a song, they hear the joy in the heart. Most people are so lonely and so empty. And if they see you and they witness within you a joyful spirit, they don't come to you and say, hey, is that tenor? Are you singing tenor? They don't come to you and say, hey, I've learned that song a long time ago. No, that's not the way it is. People are starved for happiness. And when it's expressed in an authentic manner, man, they are greatly encouraged. And you can encourage somebody here this week. Last Christmas, we took the team of people over to the Aged Care Center across the road there, and we sang Christmas carols to the elderly over there. Some were smiling. Some were confidently singing along. Others were just sitting there, just soaking it all in. Others were crying. My singing was that bad. And by the way, afterwards they told me these were tears of joy, but I think they were just being Christian. And by the way, they've asked us to return again this year, and I guess they're glutton for punishment. So if you would like to come and join us this year, we go over and we bless those souls over there as we sing to them. You would like to come along with us this year, you're welcome to do so. And we'll share more about that as we get closer to it. But let me let you in on a great secret here this morning. The great secret is the right focus. The right focus. One great application pours out of these verses here. Happiness is not dependent upon outward circumstances, but on inward focus if you have Jesus in your heart. When you focus correctly, you can smile, you can sing through any experience, and you can come out rejoicing. It all depends on your inward focus. Here are a couple of questions for you to consider. Do you bring joy to those that you lead? Do you bring joy to those that you lead? Does a good sense of humor mark your leadership? My wife sort of tells me often that, Dwayne, you're always so serious. Lighten up. Lighten up. And it's true. I know it. I just get too serious. I'm too focused. She says, lighten up sometimes. Happiness is a result of an outward circumstances, but joy comes from within. Let me ask you here this morning, have you got the joy of the Lord? Do you have the joy of the Lord here this morning? If so, we need to let our face know it. We need to let our face know it so others can see it, and they can see the joy of the Lord within our hearts. Few things are more magnetic than a simple or a cheerful disposition, especially among those in God's work. How easy it is to become intense and severe and even oppressive when dealing with everyone's problems and issues. The people under Nehemiah's leadership felt free to rejoice and to laugh and to be happy. Let me ask you, do people under your leadership feel that freedom? When you go and you lead your family, when you go and lead your community, when you go and lead people at work, do they have that freedom to rejoice and to be laughed? Or are they always walking around on eggshells hoping that they don't tick you off? How about your children? Do they have the freedom to smile and to be happy? As we came to mentoring the other day, Peter and I, we were walking along and going into the building there. It's where we do our mentoring, but they had a ton of kids that are in here. And man, they were just flat out, man. They were excited. They were happy. And you could just hear the roar, the giggle, and the children just having a great time. And I just stopped for just a moment just to soak all that in. So what a blessing it is to hear these children just happy, even come to school. Well, how about you? Do you love to hear the laugh of children? Do you like being a part of that? I understand that Charles Haddon Spurgeon once was chided for injecting a fair amount of humor into his preaching. And with a twinkle in his eye, he replied, "If only you knew how much I hold back, you would be commending me." I like that. The Jews laughed on the wall, and they rejoiced over God's provision, and they sang together, and joy flooded the hillside so that all could hear and be glad. Had their circumstances changed? Well, no, not really. But they changed. They changed. Have you? Have you changed? The joy of the Lord only comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. So let's consider how we come to worship here this morning. It's Sunday morning. Do we sometimes dread coming to church on Sunday morning? Is it something we engage in as long as we don't have anything else to do or nothing else on our plate? Or is it a time where we can come and get excited about what God has done in our lives and learn what God's Word has to teach us, and we can come and celebrate by lifting up our praises to Him? So let me encourage you, when it comes Sunday morning, why don't you come to church early? Be here early. Take part in the celebrations that we have when we come and we praise our Lord. Don't wait till the second song is over and then show up. Come and celebrate with us. Worship with us. Don't miss out on this melody-making time for Him. And no matter what we face in life, we have reason to celebrate if we know that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And if you don't know that here this morning, listen, one of the greatest things that you can take place in your life, one of the things that we can celebrate the most, is when you surrender your life to Jesus Christ. And I pray that you would do that here this morning. There's no greater joy than to have your sins forgiven and you become holy, because holiness precedes happiness. So I hope to encourage you with that here this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for all that You have done for us. And Lord, we've had a lot to celebrate here this morning with the dedication of Azzy and her family making the commitment to follow after You and to raise their child to follow after You. And Lord, as we see the excitement of Nehemiah standing on the wall, Lord, I pray that we too can have that excitement when we come to church, when we come to worship You, Lord. And I pray that the joy of the Lord can be seen in our hearts to those in our community. And we thank You, Lord, for the salvation that we have and the joy that You've given to us. And we ask it all in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.